Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light. Save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light. Won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Sabree Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you.
Thank you.
Thank God for all the mothers who have mothered me. I'm telling you, God has blessed me with some great mothers, Mother Williams, my mother in love, amen, who a dear mother of mine, and Mother McSweeney. She lived to see 108 years old, and she was a dear mother to me, and I thank God for all the mothers out there. Take my hat off to you. Amen. I pray God's blessing upon your life, that God will continue to bless you and surround you with his favor, because truly you are worthy of the accolades and stuff that you get, amen, from your children. Don't stop your children from giving you praise, because the Bible says your children will rise up and call you blessed.
That's right.
Amen. So let them call you blessed, amen, because that's who you are, and you deserve, amen, that honor, amen, it has due you, amen. So we thank and praise God tonight, and we see we got you all ready and waiting for this word. We have somebody tonight who tag team from last week, amen, Elder Randy Ford laid a powerful word on last week, and now we have the other half. I don't know. I can't say the better half because I don't want to get into it. But these are some awesome, awesome people, and we love very, very dearly. They are awesome people,
amen.
And we thank God for their lives. We bless them, amen. And we thank God for them being with us, amen. And truly being with us, amen. And I thank God for their lives. And without further ado, we're going to bring none other than Elder Nichelle Ford. You are now live on the air.
Good evening. Good evening, Pastor Stephen and Pastor Ann. It's just wonderful to hear your voice again on the radio. We missed you all both last week.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Yeah, we thank God for you guys pinch hitting for us. Y'all did a fantastic job. Amen.
Yeah.
So we love God for you guys and everything that y'all mean to us.
We thank you so much. We thank you for the faith that you have in us, that we can step in for you guys, because your shoes are pretty big, sir. Okay, so we want to thank you so much. We are grateful for the two of you, for your friendship, and we are grateful for this opportunity that you give us, this platform to be a part of your ministry. We thank God for the both of you, and truly you are a blessing to others, but especially to us. So we thank God for the two of you. Amen.
Man, praise God. Thank you all.
So I'm going to jump right into this word this evening, and I'm going to ask you all to participate as I always do each time, and just repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is the Word of God.
My Bible is the Word of God.
The Word of God is truth.
The Word of God is truth.
And truth can never be a lie.
And truth can never be a lie.
So whatever God says, it must come to pass.
It must come to pass.
Amen, amen. Thank you all. And we're going to be coming this evening from the book of Ruth. We will be coming from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 11 through 17. Again, the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 11 through 17. And the word of God reads as follows. But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go. For I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Now I ask that you bow your heads and pray with me out there in Radio Land. Most good and gracious God, thank you for this day, for bringing us together once again at this appointed time that we may hear your precious word. We thank you for being here in our midst and for always hearing our prayers. Thank you for accepting us, our flaws, and all, for loving us despite who we are. Help us to keep you in the forefront of our mind, to keep our mind stayed on thee. Help those who are troubled right now, those who may be struggling in their faith, or those who may be grieving the loss of a loved one. Remind them that in everything we endure, you are there with them. We ask a blessing for our leaders, our senior pastor, Kevin, and our co-founder, Bishop Ruth, Archbishop Ruth, as they labor in the vineyard ministering to your people. Cover me, O Lord, as I bring the word to edify your people. Open their mind and heart that they may receive a word that they will need in order to sustain their time and space on earth. Thank you again, Lord. We lift your name on high and give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
This evening, saints of God, I would like to speak to you on the topic, It's Between the Two. Again, It's Between the Two. While there are many things that we face each day, one of the most difficult things that we must work at daily to navigate are relationships, our interactions with people. Relationships among people are something that must be maintained in order to remain healthy and strong. And yet, while being in a relationship is something that we all seem to thrive in and thrive for, we are the worst at doing what it takes to do just that, in maintaining them. Relationships change over time. They are living, breathing arrangements that are constantly evolving and fluctuating. And because the individuals change, due to perhaps location, circumstances, or even age, that change is the unpredictable component that exists in every type of relationship. It's between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Still, a good relationship can stand the test of time and even get better and better as the years roll by, becoming more precious and desirable as it conquers its setbacks in life and problems. The key is, if you make your relationship a priority and both partners are always growing and improving and seeking to become better partners, then the relationship can never get stagnant. It will always be fun and youthful and fresh and new. Positive relationships are interwoven and grow in and out and like a weaving of a basket. And when that happens, we are able to experience a peace of mind. Those are the kinds of relationships that give our lives meaning and grace and joy. But it's the relationships that throw us off balance that give us the most challenge. So our goal should always be to work to stabilize the controversy or strife and or discomfort, because it ultimately is between the two. Amen? All of you know, on the surface, there are different types of relationships: professional, family, romantic, and friendship. But there's also the deeper, more complicated relationships that involve from the interactions with our relationship with our Christian family that can add a level of frustration and can challenge us greatly. Amen? Naomi and Ruth's relationship was so intriguing. It has so many layers. They were in-laws. They were widows. They were women with the same circumstance. So they would also be considered a part of a sisterhood, if you will. That sisterhood, that woman-to-woman relationship, can be such a difficult dynamic to navigate. Their story gives us rich insight into a healthy interpersonal and Christian relationship. It reminds us that even the most difficult, in the most difficult of times and common experiences, it is possible to build meaningful and lasting bonds. Let's look a little closer at Naomi. Earlier in the chapter, we learn that she had lost both her husbands and her sons. She was old and helpless and was widowed along with her daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Even though they were also suffering, they found solace in the company of each other. There was a commonality of experience that they shared, just as we all do as members of the body of Christ. We are all joined by a common experience. We have also the hurts and pains from life, just like Naomi. But also like Naomi and Orpah and Ruth, we have found safety in belonging to a group of those who have gone through similar or the same experiences. It's between the two, just like you and me. Widows have a very, very difficult time in the biblical times. As I've mentioned before in the past and spoken about this before, without their husbands, widows are literally helpless. Property was owned only by men and not women. So with no men left in the family, the women lacked any means of support and safety. Naomi felt that the only course of action that seemed open to her was to return to her native land of Bethlehem. By returning to the land of Judah, she could seek help from her own relatives that were living there. At that point, she urged her daughters-in-law to return to their father's household, where they would be supported until they could marry again. Orpah followed Naomi's advice, but Ruth insisted on staying with her. Naomi and Ruth have a very unique relationship between the two of them. These two women ended up spending 10 years together as mother-in-law and daughter-in-law. Naomi, being from Israel and, of course, a Jew, she was a foreigner to Moab. But she must have been a stellar member in their community. Otherwise, why would Orpah and Ruth be so determined to go off with her instead of remaining behind in Moab? They were willing to be three widows alone in another country, in a land that was foreign to them. Yet Orpah was reluctantly staying in Moab, but not Ruth. Although Ruth was also a Moabite, she was unwilling to stay. If life was so terrible in Moab, Naomi wouldn't have tried to get them to stay behind. Ruth's support of Naomi was eventually a turning point in both of their lives. There was something between the two that continued to spur them on, and that was a connection, compassion, and commitment. The connection between the two was a special one developed. Naomi had a connection with God because of Naomi's relationship to Ruth, Ruth became connected to God. I'm going to say that again. Naomi had a connection with God, and because of Naomi's relationship to Ruth, Ruth became connected to God. She exposed Ruth to who God is, who he was in her life. Naomi was able to expose her to her interactions with him. Ruth became observant over the time of the praying and the worship and the feasts and the customs, all of the things that Naomi experienced. She saw the evidence of who God is, and as a result, Ruth's relationship, Ruth's connection with God began. Ruth came to know and value God from her connection to someone who knew him very well, and that was Naomi. Naomi could speak easily about God because he was real to her. Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, does speaking about who God is come easily to you? How intentional are you when we help others in making sure that they connect to Christ? Do the people that you have a relationship with, your friends, your family, your professional connections, do they know that you have a real connection, a real relationship with Christ? That you know and value him? You, brothers and sisters, are the connection to Christ. People should be able to connect to him through your connection to him. Think of a three-way call. You make a call to someone, then the two of you are on the call. Then you call to connect a third to the conversation. You call the other person, and the call merges. Now the three of you are all connected. So here we go. You are the connected to God, and then you connect to someone else. And then you also connect that call with another person. You are the connector, because get this, if you hang up, they all get disconnected. There has to be a connection between the two. And you are the connector for others to God. Amen.
Yeah.
Next, there needs to be compassion between the two in a relationship. Naomi was able to show compassion to her daughters-in-law because of the circumstance they were in. Because of her example, Orpah and Ruth were able to give compassion to her as well. They were concerned for her well-being. They knew that because Naomi was an older woman, her quality of life was in jeopardy. She mentions in the text how she's too old and that even if she were to have sons again, they would be too old waiting for her new sons, the newest sons, to grow up. The compassion they felt for each other was a significant detail in determining their next move. Orpah and Ruth recognized the state of mind that Naomi was in, and they did not want to leave her to go off on her own alone. They were all going through the same experience. They had more compassion for her, probably, than they had for themselves. What do you feel, saints of God, for your brother or sister in Christ? How many of us have shown compassion for other people's circumstance?
Mm-hmm.
Does it have to matter whether we have gone down that same road or not? Should it really matter? How about, there but for the grace of God go I? Because our circumstance can turn around in the blink of an eye. Or how about if we've just come out of that situation? It could be a job loss, a loss of a loved one, or a bad relationship that someone may be currently experiencing now. You, because you've come out, have an even bigger, bigger opportunity to show compassion to that person. Has your ability to show compassion wavered because now you come out of it on the other side whole, so now you don't feel it's necessary to revisit it in order to help someone else? What about COVID? We have all just gone through that together, every last one of us. There is some experience that we have all gone through that experience gives us some form of compassion for one another. That is definitely an experience that we can say is between the two. Saints of God, God shows us compassion every day of our lives, through his mercy and his grace. We all are not all that we can be, and his compassion that we receive daily is what we should be working to give to others. Amen. Commitment. There should be a commitment between the two. And Ruth recognized that her decision to go with Naomi was not just an ordinary decision. It was also a faith commitment. It was not only just a commitment to go with Naomi. She was also committing in her faith to her God. When Naomi urges her to return home to her family, Ruth expresses her commitment to remain. She realizes that in going with Naomi, she has to agree to the life that Naomi is going to live. Ruth, again, was a Moabite. The Moabite people had a history of fighting with the Israelites, the land where she was getting ready to go and live.
Mm-hmm.
Naomi and her husband were Israelites who left there to go to the land of Moab, to a land to be with people who were not only foreign, but who did not believe in or worship their God.
Hmm.
They were a people, meaning the Moab, the Moabites, were a people who were idolaters, and they engaged in sacrifices to a number of gods, one of them called. But Naomi's commitment to her faith also brought the revelation of her relationship with God to others.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth, turning away from what she had known all her life, tells us of how strong an influence Naomi had on her. She was willing to turn away from her customs, from her religion, from her entire life, and commit to worshiping, praying, and believing in Naomi's Lord, Naomi's God.
Mm-hmm.
How influential are we, brothers and sisters? Are we influential at all in all of our relationships? In the way in that we can look to bring others to Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Can people look at us and see how amazing God is? So much so that they would be willing to turn away from the things of the world that they know and be totally committed to the God that we love and serve. Then now the question also asks, if people don't see that in you, how committed are we to the Lord God that we profess to love and serve?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something that people can see in us that will show that there's something in between you and God, in between the two, in the way of a real relationship?
Mm.
Naomi and Ruth's relationship was so rare. Mm. The relationship between in-laws is one that history has shown over time and still even exists today, that it can be more like the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Mm.
Now, I may be dating myself a little bit. There may be a lot of us out there in radio land. Some of you all may not know about the Hatfields and McCoys, but I'll also toss in maybe an episode of Love and Hip Hop. I think that'll bring us up into the 2021 year. It can be a downright toxic relationship. Many marriages can be purposefully destroyed by just a mother-in-law's interaction alone.
Mm-hmm.
So what exactly can we learn from them, meaning from Naomi and Ruth's relationship with regard to us having relationships with other people?
Mm-hmm.
There are three relationship principles that I think that Naomi and Ruth exhibited that are between the two that we can take away. They are love, longevity, and loyalty. Again, those three principles, love, longevity, and loyalty. Now let's go into the text. In thinking about love, we're looking at verse 14. It says, "Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her." These words demonstrate a pure and genuine love that her daughter-in-laws, that Naomi's daughter-in-laws, had for her. But she wanted them to be safe and cared for, and she knew that encouraging them to go off without her to be with their own family was the best thing for them.
Mm-hmm.
She loved them so much that she did not want them to remain with her. She gave them a blessing that she knew would give them comfort, that would help to give them peace. She said to them, "May the Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." What a loving blessing she gave to her daughters-in-law. She also encouraged them to go and marry again. Her love for them was selfless. She wasn't thinking of herself. Her love didn't come with condition or that there was anything that she wanted from them in particular. There was an acceptance of who they were, of all of who they were. Her sons chose both Orpah and Ruth to marry. Even though by Jewish law, it was unacceptable to marry someone who was outside of the faith.
Mm-hmm.
But Naomi learned to love them, and they did not want to leave her as a result. They were weeping. They loved her so much. How genuinely, brothers and sisters, do we love in our relationships with others? Do we only love and accept the parts of a person that we like? I'll call them the soft spots in people. Or do we love with an intent to accept and appreciate that person way inside deep where the hard spots are when they may do or say something? Naomi's love was a demonstration of God's love. Her genuine acceptance and embracing of a people who were so unlike herself was the evidence of God's love.
Mm-hmm.
There was an unconditional love in between the two. And to be able to truly care for a person, no matter who they are, and not look to use or abuse people for your benefit is always the goal and should never be a part of when you say you love someone. So we've heard about the first principle in relationships, which is love. The second principle is longevity. The close, loving relationship between Ruth and Naomi grew over 10 years. It didn't happen overnight. I imagine that over those years, Naomi was able to introduce Ruth to God. She actually, if you think about it, was her intercessor. She, Naomi, was in between the two. Maybe she wasn't talking to Ruth every moment of the day about who God was, but I imagine that she instead took the time to let Ruth recognize the life that she lived as a servant of God. Ruth got to watch Naomi, and in the end, then chose to live the way that Naomi displayed. A life of peace, a life of character, a life of kindness. Naomi was able to convert Ruth by her consistent actions of what she believed in over time. Ruth was able to get to know God for herself and was able to enter into covenant with him. In verse 16, she firmly says, "For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." She made that decision after spending a long amount of time getting to know who God was. Now, we can all admit that none of us make big life decisions like that overnight. When we're about to make a major purchase like a car or a house or even maybe considering taking a new job or moving on from an old job, we just don't decide overnight. Hmm. Or at least we shouldn't do that, right? Because then we're being called impulsive if we do that.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
those are big decisions that are life-changing. So there should be amount of longevity that comes along that we're able to take our time in deciding what we are going to do. We know that these decisions, where we can end up possibly financially strapped or in over our head with a new job or even unemployed because we left the job too soon.
Right.
The same goes for getting married, right? That's another life-changing decision, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Something over time, with a longevity of time, has to be built in between the two.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things are done over time. So why do we expect those who don't know God to come to him overnight?
Mm.
It's important, saints of God, that we help others to understand that building the relationship with God is important.
Mm-hmm.
It's developed with a longevity of time.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be nurtured. It has to be maintained. And it's, again, something that needs to be built between the two. And really, that relationship has to be built more on our part than it is from God, because God already is waiting to be in relationship with us, in right relationship with us. He remains the same over and over again. He's waiting for us because he has not changed.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be prepared to go the distance, to be ready to engage in a longevity relationship with God. That is the relationship of quality that we are looking for with him. My third point, we've talked about love. We've talked about longevity. Now, that last point is loyalty. In verse 17, Ruth tells Naomi, where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Ruth truly loved her mother-in-law and would not desert her. She was ready to risk an uncertain future out of loyalty to Naomi. She found her to be a mentor and was willing to follow her advice. She trusted her. She was showing her loyalty to her. Now, as of late, I've heard the word loyalty quite a bit. And I have to admit, brothers and sisters, I have been very disturbed, no saddened really, with this current use of the word. So I want to visit this word, but from the definition of what it really means. So according to the dictionary, loyalty means faithfulness to commitments or obligations, faithful adherence to a sovereign, government, leader, cause, etc., and an example or instance of faithfulness, adherence, or the like. Now, the word in that definition that is very significant to me is the word faith, faithful, and faithfulness. All different versions of the meaning of full of faith. Naomi was faithful and loyal to God. Ruth was loyal to Naomi and subsequently then loyal to God. Naomi and Ruth's loyalty to each other grew because of the relationship that they had between the two. So now what I know loyalty doesn't mean is meaning to make someone feel guilty or to be given orders or bully people to make them fall in line for their own agenda or to use one's authority to control the outcome or just to have blind obedience. We have to be very careful, brothers and sisters, how we use this word. Many times we are caught up in our own agenda and we forget where our loyalty should lie. And it's between us and God. So if what's being said in terms of loyalty has nothing to do with what is between you and God, then that loyalty is misplaced. Like Naomi and Ruth, their job was to build the kingdom, just as ours is to build the kingdom. So when our Christian relationships come to a place where we're questioned or tested regarding loyalty, we have to concentrate on where our loyalties really should lie. Now, I know we all have loyalties, right? We all do. Families have loyalties. Friends have loyalties, right? But we just need to be careful. We can't operate in a place of blind loyalty where our convictions and obedience becomes more about man and not about God. Naomi and Ruth demonstrated that their loyalty and obedience was to God. And so our loyalty in the same regard has to be to God, not to man. Naomi and Ruth knew what was between them and who they had to be loyal to. And Ruth clearly says it when she says, the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. She was expressing that loyalty to Naomi. I know where my loyalty lies. I ask you, brothers and sisters, where does yours? And so as I come to a close, let me just add one last dynamic with regards to relationships. Take a moment and ask yourself, how am I doing with my relationship with the Savior? Are you connected Are you showing compassion to others? And are you committed to your belief in who he is? Do you have real love for him and all that he has done for you? What about longevity? Have you known him for who he really is for a very long time? And what about your loyalty? Are you a loyal and faithful servant? How you answer those questions determines whether you've got a good relationship with the Savior or not. If your relationship with Jesus is strong, then hallelujah, glory to God. If it is not good, it's not in a good place, then you need to identify the weak areas and work on bringing them up to par. Because understand this, brothers and sisters, if your relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is poor, then every other relationship in your life will also be the same. Make no mistake about this. Your relationship with God will most definitely reflect on all of your relationships. It should be the cornerstone of your life. Do whatever you need to do to strengthen that bond in between you and him. The word in John 14:6 says, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And in that way, we can live the happiest life possible. Having a loving relationship with him, establishing longevity in your relationship with him, and also having a relationship that you're able to show your loyalty directly to him. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good and fantastic word, Ms. Elder Nichelle. That is an awesome word. It's between the two. And as you was teaching, I began to see with the connection, the compassion, and the commitment, the relationship principles, love, longevity, and loyalty, I began to think about the fact that Ruth and Naomi, Naomi had discipled those ladies.
Yes.
She had pulled them into discipleship. And when you really, really know who the Lord is, and know who God is in your life, and you begin to pour into others, then those folks begin to connect with you. And they don't want to leave. They want to be with you. It's not like they want to be in your space maybe, but I'm saying they want to be able to connect. And that is the way we need to be in our homes and in our churches. We need to be able to connect. We need to grow stronger in discipleship.
Yes.
Then another word that I noticed that you was really bringing out was consistency.
Yes.
So when
yes.
you talk about discipleship and you talk about consistency, when you do these things, when you are connected to people and you have compassion for people, like you have compassion today but you don't have any tomorrow, committed today but not committed tomorrow, we need to be consistent. And so this is a great word for us in the body of Christ.
Amen.
In
Amen.
The body, we need to be consistent. And this word right here is between the two, meaning that it is between you and God and it's between you and people. And so it is just from this word that we are hearing tonight is very, very, very good word. And we want to hear from you out there in Radio Land tonight. We want you to press 1 on your phone, and we will bring you live on the air to just make a comment or either ask this woman of God questions or whatever you may like. But go on and press 1 on your phone, and we will bring you live on the air to talk with her. If you need prayer, we'll also pray with you. So just press one on your phone, and we'll bring you live on the air. Elder Nichelle, this is really an awesome word, and if we could just get this word deep down in our heart and in our spirit, we would have less troubles. You know that?
Praise God. Exactly. You know, people
yes.
look to us to be the representative of what we believe in, and
uh-huh.
if we are just steadfast in showing them who we really are and who we should
mm-hmm.
be in God, you know, there would be a lot more people coming to the body of Christ and accepting Christ.
That is so true, because when the Bible talks about let your light shine,
yes.
and so and we letting our light shine in a sense of doing what the world do, then the people looking, they can't see nothing but the world. So they people like, why do I need to change if I'm still going to be in the same situation? I see these Christians, they doing the same thing that I'm doing. You know, folks that are not saved, they see
yes.
Christian folks doing the same thing. So it's like,
yes.
why should I get saved? Because a lot of times just ministering to people, you know, folks say, I really want to be real when I get saved. I
yes.
really want to be real. In other words, they don't want to be pretending. They don't want pretense. They want connection,
right.
compassion,
yes.
want commitment. They
yes.
want the real love, the unconditional
love,
longevity, and they want loyalty. And that's
yes.
what even a sinner man knows that.
That's right. That's right.
You know? And so it
that's
is very important that we do understand this and know that this is the way of discipleship, and this is the way of consistency, because when we get into discipleship, we got to be consistent. Our life need to be clean. When you're trying to bring someone else in, you need to have a disciplined life, and it need to be connected to God and have that compassion of God. And it is really important that we have all of these things that you just mentioned tonight. It is really, really a good word. Amen. Praise
Amen.
God.
One of the easiest things that we can do in establishing and doing discipleship is being able to just show love to one another. You know,
yes.
That is the easiest thing to do, and yet people are not willing to just extend love, genuine love, because
genuine
people
love.
Do think there is an agenda. People do think that, oh, you must want something from me. That's why you're being nice to me. But it
mm-hmm.
really has a heartfelt love. You know, it should be a genuine love for God's people.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen. This is an awesome word. We thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We pray that each and every one of you has been blessed by this word. And if you came on a little late, Elder Nichelle came from Ruth chapter 1. Verse 11 through 17 is between the two. She was talking about the fact of connection, compassion, and commitment that Ruth had with her daughter-in-laws. And also she talked about the relationship principles that was exhibited through those ladies, which was the love they had, the longevity, and the loyalty that they had. And when I see that, I can't come up with discipleship and being a consistent person, and God is calling for us to be that. So we want you to know that God is able and he is ready to do what he wants to do in our lives if we submit ourselves unto him. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Minister. We are going to go in and pray. We have about 31 seconds. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we bless you, we honor you, God, we glorify your your name, Lord. We are praying right now, Lord God, that we, our hearts have received this word, oh God. We thank you for the anointing that was upon this word coming through the woman of God. We pray, Lord God, hallelujah, that she is blessed as well as we are blessed concerning this word, Lord. And each and every person that has called in tonight and that is on this line tonight, we pray, Lord God, that each and every person will be blessed and receive this word. And those that listen to this message at a later date, we are praying, Lord God, that the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost will be upon them to receive this mighty, powerful word coming from this powerful woman. We want you to tune in next week at 8 p.m. Just dial 917-388-4161 to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. Have a great night.